And we are live for the 165th episode of the Bronx Bomber Battle podcast, presented to you by Six Pack Coverage. Tonight, Andrew, there's Alex,
and me.
We're both on our TV. We're through the first series. The Yankees, to this point, have not lost a game. Juan Soto's a Yankee. God. Let's talk about it.
I genuinely don't know what to say bad right now. I mean, let's just say, you know, we can sometimes be pretty pessimistic, okay? One of us in particular.
Always.
But right now, what can you say bad about this team right now? They went out, they started the season with a 4-game set in Houston, which after the way 2022 went and the way 23 went, it just sounded like a death blow. And they swept it. And now they don't have to play the Astros for a while. They only have 3 games left against them and they won 4. Like,
that's right. They already won the season series.
Yeah. Like, this is insane.
Crazy.
I genuinely, like, yesterday after they won, I was sitting there just thinking, like, oh my God, they just swept the Astros. And, you know, all of the games except for game 2 were close. And, you know, they were winnable.
It was close until late.
Yeah. And they were winnable for each team. Pretty much the entire game. The Astros had a lead in every single game.
Except Sunday.
They didn't. Okay. They didn't. Oh no, they tied it and then the Yankees went ahead.
Yeah.
The
first game, the Yankees actually scored first.
Yeah. Which that is such a big tell for me too, because you look at the way the team has operated the past few years, the clutch gene has just been gone. It's just like they go out there and they overthink and they try and they all try and have the big swing and they don't work the count. They don't work at bats. Like, how many times have we just seen, you know, it's the bottom of the 5th inning and they have the bases loaded and 2 outs and the first guy up swings at the first pitch and pops it up or grounds it to short or something like that. And you're just sitting there like,
Gleyber Torres staple.
Yeah, exactly. You're just sitting like, why does this happen? And I don't want to give all the credit to, like, the hitting. You know, I imagine working with James Rosen and having him be the hitting coach now, I would like to give him some credit because I imagine he definitely has had some impact on this.
Particularly because this is something he said he wanted to do right from the jump, and they're clearly already implementing it.
It's not hard to see that last year in particular, they had no approach when it was like the game was late and close and the team
didn't take walks. They didn't work good at bats. They were going up there saying, well, if I fall into a home run, I guess that's the best I can do.
Yeah.
The clutch gene, the 7th inning has been the big inning. I know they had the Soto hit the go-ahead home run. I think that was in the 9th in game 3. And then the go-ahead single on Sunday was also on the 9th. But, like, the 7th inning has been the big inning for them. So,
yeah,
not that that's not clutch per se, but they're not waiting to their last at-bat to be like, oh, shit, we got to figure out this game. We got to save before we pick up an L, right? Like, there's time left in the game, and they're taking advantage off the middle relievers, which is what you want, right? You're not going to consistently come back against other teams' closers. And Hader looked fantastic. I know he did get pinged with the loss on Sunday, but he pitched 3 out of 4 games and looked awesome in all of them. You're not going to do a lot of damage against each team's closer over the course of the season. You want to hit the middle relief, and the Yankees did all 4 games this series.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for me was the fact that they really worked every single starting pitcher and got them out early. I don't think any of the Astros starting pitchers went for longer than I don't know off the top of my head, but I don't think any of them went 6 innings.
Javier probably went the deepest in the game, right?
I don't know. I think he only went like 4 or 5, but everyone was in between like 4 and 5 innings. And that's what you got to do. The blueprint of beating a good team like the Astros, that is just kind of, it's deep. Every bit of the roster, like you look at the Astros roster and it's not as strong as they have had in teams of the past. And like, I look at the 2019 team and that team is just, they should have won the World Series and they didn't, which is a bummer for them. But they're still a very good team. And if they don't win you know, the AL West, something will have gone horribly wrong for them. But I look at the way that the Yankees approach them, and they approach this series like a team playing from behind, not a team playing as if they were the better team. They went into this as the underdogs, knowing that they needed to grind out at bats, knowing that they couldn't just sit up there and aim for the home run and, you know, just shrug their shoulders after striking out on four pitches. They went into the series going, okay, we're going to have to do little things to win this. Even if it's the first four games of the season, these games matter because you want to set the tone for the entire season.
Yeah, it is crazy how, again, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but the tone of this team and the direction they're headed mm-hmm. this season feels night and day different than last year. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that the Yankees also swept the Astros in Houston last year too. But those were completely different games. You had
those were the first games for Dominguez and Wells. Like,
right.
It was a completely different feel where it was like, okay, they have given up on the season.
And they were for sure the underdogs in those games too. But it was kind of like, oh, well, the kids are out here. Whatever happens, happens kind of thing. Whereas the start of the new season, like, you know, going in, the Astros are always the force. Playing at home makes them the favorites in any game they play at home, even though they, for some reason, can't win at home. That's a whole other issue. But yeah, it just felt different this year. And I say this year, it's four games in, right? They can play first pitches in about an hour from when we're recording this right now. They can get smacked tonight. And by the time this gets published, they're already 4-1.
Yeah.
Everything we're gassing them up for could be a different story. But generally speaking, it just feels like a different team. Even if you look at the starting lineup,
it feels that they like have there's a different
Arizona tonight. It's the same lineup they ran out for the first four games.
There's a different, like, energy.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's not even a different energy. There is energy. There's like an excitement of this team to play. They want to go out there and win. Last year's team in June and July and August, it seemed like they were tired.
They were so vanilla. They were so
they were boring. Just,
yeah.
They were a true three true outcomes team.
It was not an exciting
minus the walks.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
My favorite stat from last year is you look at their team totals. They had a 304 on base percentage last year.
It's like unbelievably bad.
That is horrible. This might just be coming out of my ass, but I believe the only team that was worse was the A's. Like,
it was
the Yankees were
at the bottom of the barrel and a lot of
the Yankees were legitimately a bottom like five team in pretty much every offensive category last year. And the only reason that they finished 82-80 was their pitching. Because, and it, let me rephrase that. It was Cole in the bullpen because their other starters were nothing special.
And what was the stat? The Yankees were like 16-6 or something like that in games that Cole pitched. And then they were like 10 games under 500 and the other ones he didn't.
Yeah.
So they barely finished 500 with the Cy Young winning most of the starts.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
And now he's out for God knows how long, and they've picked up wins with Nestor Cortez, Carlos Rodon, which is crazy where he ended last year. Marcus Stroman looked good in his first start, and Clark Schmidt had a really representative outing on Sunday.
I was pretty stressed because you think about it, the way that the first game started with Nestor giving up the three runs in the first inning and then immediately giving up a fourth run. Excuse me. It is past my bedtime. The way that everything started, it was a nightmare. Because you were a little busy at work or something on opening day. You're on your drive home or something. You get in at 4:30 and you look at the score and it's 4-0. And you're like, what the hell happened? The game started 15 minutes ago. And it just seemed like that was going to set the tone for the entire season. It was like, okay, we went out there. Cole's not here. Nestor started, got blown to smithereens. And we're just like, oh God, this is going to suck. And then they just battled and they battled. Jesus Christ, I can't stop yawning. And they kept on fighting. And then next thing you know, they have a lead and Soto plays difference maker with his single to get them on the board and his throw in the ninth inning. And then Friday, kind of the same exact thing happened, where they were being dominated by Javier, and Rodon had a few moments where he looked good, but for the most part, he just could not throw a strike.
The good thing about that start for him is that he struggled to keep men off base, but he didn't give up the back-breaking hit to blow the game open.
He bent, but he didn't break. And that's
sometimes that's what you got. That's what you need to do.
That's the difference between this year and last year, where last year he would have given up the back-breaking three-run home run or something like that.
Well, one start. Don't say that he still won't.
Well, I know. I'm just – again, we're being optimistic today. Turning a new leaf for the 2024 season.
I know, we got to be careful not making
I'm not trying to say Carlos Rodon is good here. I'm just trying to say that in a start like this from last year, if he was in Houston and you saw how he was last year, the at bat where he struck out Alvarez to get out of the jam. If that was last year, that ball is 10 rows deep in right field.
It was a good pitch, too. It was, like, way above the zone. Nothing that Alvarez can actually do any damage with. Mm-hmm. But he got him chasing. And then there was...
That's what you got to do against dangerous hitters like that. You can't give them things to hit. You look at the way the Astros pitched Soto, especially Saturday and Sunday. They pitched him outside.
He was just kicking the ball to left field.
Yeah. Both his home run and his single off of Hader were on pitches on the outer corner of the plate.
And you forget, he almost hit a home run on, I think it was Friday night, too. He hit it off the top of the Crawford boxes on that pitch that he, like, barely swung at, like, flipped his wrist. And that one almost left the yard to left field, too. So he's a couple inches away from having two home runs in the year. Like, I love him going the opposite way. He hasn't taken many walks, but it's because he leads the American League, leads all of Major League Baseball, I should say, in total hits. Leads the league in go-ahead RBIs or game-winning RBIs, I should say, at this point. Like, he's not hitting home runs at this point.
He's a true two-hitter right now. He's not going out there and being all or nothing, and that's what they needed.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, what the hell is wrong with me right now?
You gotta pinch your leg or something.
Jesus Christ.
Or drop a hot sauce on your tongue or something.
Oh my God, hang on. I'm going to get some water. Just be back in a second.
This has been the Bronx Bomber Babble podcast. Thank you for taking this interlude with us while we wait for Alex to come back.
All right. Hopefully that fixes me. Because what the hell is happening?
And we're back.
What was I saying?
I don't know. Juan Soto, true number two hitter.
Yeah. He is going up there and he's working the count. And I genuinely think he's getting getting better pitches to hit because he has Judge behind him. And that might be why Judge has gotten off to a bit of a slow start too, because they're kind of going right at him. And I don't think he's used to that. I think if you look at last year and the year before, he was kind of viewed as the guy. He was the danger in the lineup, the guy that you cannot let beat you. So he would get a pitch to hit every now and then, and he would do what he could with it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously in 2022, it would be he'd hit it out. And last year, he walked so many times because
even then he missed like 40, 50 games, hit like 37 home runs last year.
Yeah.
He was on pace for another 50 home run season.
Yeah. And now you look at it and even if they pitch around him, even if he really wants it and they want to face Rizzo or Stanton or whoever's behind him, you're still having to deal with someone else who's just as dangerous as Judge in front of him. So you still have the stress of having to deal with back-to-back guys who are going more often than not are probably going to impact the game in a positive way for the Yankees. So even if they both strike out back-to-back, you still have to the pitcher still has it in his mind of, okay, I have to face both Soto and Judge back to back. And then after that, it's Rizzo or it's Stanton who, even if they're not what they used to be, they're still veterans of the game. Stanton, as we saw from Friday, can still hit a ball 900 feet. Rizzo still remains to be seen what he can do. He was
there's
okay.
A lot of depth in the lineup now, yeah. Even beyond that, right? Like,
yeah.
Verdugo is a way better hitter at six than a guy like Jake Bowers. Mm-hmm. Anthony Volpe's had a much better start to his season than he did last year. Like, I've gone on four games, but he looked great.
He's looked really, really good.
Drawing walks. He's a really good hitter with two strikes. He's not immediately just a give up, go down 0-2. The bat's over. Like, he's battling up there. Cabrera, obviously, what can you say about Oswaldo so far? There's a lot of depth up and down this lineup.
The thing I really, really have liked to see from Volpe is that last year, he really looked good when he was taking his walks. And that's what he was doing at the beginning of the year when there was not as much pressure on him. And then I think the Yankees kind of put a little bit of pressure on him when they put him in the leadoff spot. And I get what they were trying to do. They're trying to give him some exposure into being what they, you know, what they want him to be. They want him to be the leadoff guy. They want him to be the speedster at the top of the lineup. But he was 21 years old. He had never played in MLB before. He was a rookie. It's a lot for a guy that young that's already playing every day, that's getting four at-bats a day against major league pitching. Like, there's a lot of stuff that was going on for him probably. And you look at him now, he just looks so much more comfortable up there. And he's not chasing big things. Like, how many times last year would there be like a 1-2 count on him? They'd throw a slider or a curve in the dirt and he'd just swing right over the top of it.
He's just locked up, he was swinging from his heels, kind of really didn't have much of an approach.
Like you said, he wouldn't have an approach, or he'd just be, you know, guessing fastball, or and the way his swing was, it just, you could tell he was struggling when his swing looked like a Joey Gallo swing.
It did. That's a good comparison.
If you look at the home run he hit on Saturday, his swing was so much more level looking. Where some of the ones
made sure they worked on this spring training, mm-hmm. right? Was making him more of a line drive hitter and removing the uppercut a little bit. And look, he could still square a ball up and put one off that high, way over that high wall in left center field in Houston. Like, that's gone in any ballpark in baseball. Power's there, obviously. But you're right, with a more level swing, he's not going to be getting on top of the ball a bunch. He's not going to be missing a bunch of stuff because his mechanics are all out of whack. He just looks like a more complete hitter. And again, you know, it's only been three games for him. He did miss Sunday with an illness, back in the lineup Monday night, tonight. But look, what else could you have expected, right? You have your middle infield of Torres, who's been forced into the leadoff spot, hasn't looked great. His at-bat's there. Been a little opportunistic. He did come through with the hit stolen, or did he steal a base on Sunday, or did he go first? Just went first to third. I think he did steal and then went to third.
No, he did steal because he was on second when Soto hit the single.
And then he was running to third when Soto hit the ball. That's why he scored on a shallow single left.
Mm-hmm.
Him, Judge, Verdugo haven't had the best of results offensively. But all in all, the team just goes up there and has competitive at bats 1-9, and that's going to wear down pitchers over the course of 160.
You don't need to go up there and have success every single at bat to impact the game in a good way. You just need to go up there and you need to make the pitcher work. You cannot give away an at bat.
Well, and the issue with a guy like Torres is a lot of times he gets a little first pitch swing happy and hits a weak pop up on the first or second pitcher in at bat, and then. Like, you have Soto right behind you ready to wear down the pitcher and Judge right behind him to wear down the pitcher. If you can get 5-6 pitches out of your bat, whether it ends in a, you know, you're reaching base or not, that's your job, really. And there's times where he'll be hit and miss on that, but like, I don't want to get too ahead of myself and say that he sucks and the season's blown to bits. We were worried he got hit in the hand. I think it was Friday night's game, right in the thumb, and he played Saturday and Sunday, no problem. So another bullet dodge there. The Yankees have been very weird with injuries so far. It just seems like there's these little things. Like, we saw Volpe got scratched and immediately he signed up the alarms and he was sick.
I think they're scared. I think they're just like taking as many precautions as they can because A, we're four games into the season. Can't really blame them for being, you know, cautious there. But at the same time, you just look at how badly injuries have derailed some of their most recent seasons. Last year, you can't really say injuries were the biggest thing, with the exception of Judge. A lot of people were pretty much healthy, but
how many more games do they win with Judge playing 150 games last year?
They
85 and 77, maybe.
They probably get close to making the playoffs, and maybe. You know, you don't know, and you don't know how much that impacts them. Because Judge is the type of guy that can carry a team, but at the same time, like, you don't know. And I think they just want to have to go. They want to go through a season where they don't have an injury that makes the season a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2023 is kind of a question mark of, okay, they were really bad, but they still finished over 500 with their best player missing 40 games. What if they hadn't? What if Judge had been healthy for those games? There's so many what ifs in the past few seasons. In 2022, what if guys like Benintendi and DJ had been healthy, you know? So there's a lot of different things that injuries have caused, and I don't mind them taking precautions with this year because we already have a major injury that is going to impact this season, and it's Cole probably not going to being back until the All-Star break.
Right, and eventually that's going to catch up to you, right? Like the starting pitching is going to have a week where four of the five guys have stinkers. You're going to lose a couple games. You're going to be out of it. Doesn't matter. The offense will score five or six runs. You're going to lose games 9-6. Like, it's going to happen over the course of the season, right? Losing your ace and your Cy Young winner definitely amplifies those issues and those bad stretches. But all in all they got to do is tread water, right? And I said on the podcast with G after opening night, just the pitching doesn't need, ideally, at least until Cole comes back, the pitching just needs to simply not be the storyline of the season.
Yeah.
Let the offense cook. Let the offense do what they got to do. And if you can just stay out of the way, you know, hold the opponent three, four, five runs on a nightly basis.
The pitching.
Not only every game, but you just do enough to keep yourselves in the game every night.
The pitching needs to do what they've done. None of the starters have been phenomenal so far.
And the bullpen is
the bullpen. Yeah, the bullpen has been the storyline, but in a good storyline. And we knew the bullpen was going to be good because every year the Yankees go out and their bullpen is underrated and it ends up being part of the reason that they are having so much success. Because you look at last year, that's the reason that they went 82-80. All of the non-Cole starts, the reason that they ended up winning those games was pretty much the bullpen locking the game down because they'd get two or three runs and
outside
win the game.
Bad stretch. Wandy was a force most of the year. Mike King was really good in both roles and in the bullpen and then later in the rotation.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to have to survive losing your ace. But the offense so far has shown that they have enough firepower in them to not be held off.
And they have enough firepower, not really getting anything from Glaber, not getting anything from
Judge
Verdugo, not getting anything from Judge. Like, there's, you know, four or five guys in the lineup every night that haven't really done anything, but they still have managed to cobble together enough runs where their pitching can hold a team that has made the ALCS 7 years in a row.
Yeah, look, like, on a nightly basis, you have nine guys in your starting lineup. You only need really obviously you'd want more in a perfect world, but in reality, you only need three or four of those guys to be producing on a nightly basis. It just can't be the same three or four guys every single night.
You want of the nine guys, you want six or seven of them to be consistently putting together good at bats.
And eventually and you'll get something out of it. Yeah.
Exactly. And you'll get something out of it from half of them. So as long as they are consistent, I don't expect like someone like Trevino to go out there and go 3-for-4 with a home run. He's not on this team for his offense. He is on there because he won a platinum glove. You know, I don't expect someone like Wells to become the second coming of Yogi Berra. But I expect...
But his defense has been better than expected. Exactly. And you know what he can do offensively.
We know what someone like Judge can do. We know what someone like Soto can do. We know Glaber has been very consistent the past couple of years. We know what Stanton can do and Rizzo can do. They're kind of the biggest question marks in the lineup right now because we don't know if they're healthy. They can claim to be healthy. The Yankees can say they're healthy all they want, but they also said Rizzo was healthy last year and then he played for 2 months with a concussion. So,
and so far he looks like he's back. I don't want to say back like he's going to hit 30 home runs.
He looked excellent. He looked excellent in spring training and he looks like he's more on the ball this season so far. Like towards the end of his season last year, it was just so painfully obvious that something was off. And Rizzo's always been a very disciplined hitter. Like he's not going to go out there and post a 400 on base percentage, but he's also going to make some solid contact. He's going to work in at bat. He has a very good approach when there's two strikes and all of that was gone last year.
Yeah.
And it was weird because, you know, we've had Rizzo around for 2.5 years now. And in 21, he wasn't great, but he still brought like a different at bat to the team. You could tell
he was the first baseman before then. Like, I don't even think they still have Voit at that point.
It was Voit. Yeah. In 21, it was Voit. Yeah. But he was just injured a lot in 21. So that's why they got Rizzo.
Yeah. They must have been playing DJ there a bunch before they got Rizzo.
Yeah. So, yeah. But like I said, this team, it just seems so much more complete the way that they have so many more guys that you know are going to go out there and actually put up a competitive at bat. Because that was the biggest part with last year, especially with the pitch clock and stuff. And all the different rules to speed up the pace of play. The games went by so fast because the Yankees just went out there and didn't put up a fight. You would blink after you have a game start. You would blink and it's the bottom of the fifth inning because they just go up there and pitchers would have 10, 12, 15 pitch innings and they go down 1, 2, 3 with a strikeout. Even if there was a walk, you know, even if someone happened to work a walk in there, then there'd be a pop up and a ground out to third. So it's just, you've said a lot is that we don't want to overreact because we're still, it is April 1st right now. There's a lot of season left, but so far we're both very encouraged by the fact that this team looks night and day than they did last year.
So let me ask you, one hitter, although I think we're going to say the same one, one hitter and one pitcher, what surprised you most through the first series of the season? Obviously, I think the hitter is Oswaldo Cabrera, 7 of 16, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, has a slugging percentage of 875 right now, an OPS of 1346. Obviously, that's not going to continue. If it does, it would be the greatest story ever for a guy who was barely going to make the roster.
For difference's sake, I'll say Volpe. Okay. Because, like, Soto, obviously, you could say he's surprised. But honestly, I'm not surprised. Like, this is what this guy does.
You
get one, Soto.
You want that kind of
performance. This is what he's done since he came up. Yeah. But Volpe last year had so many stretches where he just looked bad. This is a guy that struck out 167 times in 601 play appearances last year. Like, he struggled as a rookie. And he popped 21 home runs. Like he showed his power. He showed off a lot of the tools he has, but he never was able to really put it together for like a dominant stretch. He had a couple like games where, you know, he'd have a series that he did really well in, but he never really put it together. Or there was never like a week and a half stretch where he was the best player on the team.
Sure.
And his defense was incredible. Like there's a reason he won a gold glove. But just seeing him the way that he's played so far this year, he's patient. He's, you know, ready to just, he's ready to swing, but not too ready like he was last year. He's not restless up there. So
The patience is really encouraging.
The guy has a 571 on base percentage. This year he has 14 plate appearances, 4 walks. He has more strikeouts than walks. He has 4 walks and 3 strikeouts. That says a ton for 3 games of a guy who had over 3 times as many strikeouts as walks last year. And again, 3 games. It's not a big deal. But this is already this stretch of 3 games right now is better than any 3-game stretch I can remember from him last year.
Yeah. All right, and pitcher?
Oh, pitcher, that surprised me. I gotta go with Loaiza, I think.
Okay.
Because, they said that they wanted to stretch him into a multi-inning reliever, and he's one it's very well storied how much G just never trusted Zach Britton being on the mound. I'm kind of like that with Loaiza, because he has all the talent in the world.
He should be a dominant
lifer. He should be so much more dominant than he is. Mm-hmm. And he does not, he has a two-seamer that just, goes 98 and it moves a ton. He has a really good slider. He throws hard. He does not walk that many guys.
He gets burned by a lot of soft contact, though, which is
not... He gets burned by a lot of soft contact, and he'll give up home runs.
Yeah.
And, he's really only had one dominant year. He's had a lot of injury troubles like he did last year, and so I was not that high on him coming into this year, because I was like, okay, as long as he's your number 4 or 5 reliever, then it's fine. He's a good guy to have in the bullpen. But the second they were like, yeah, we want to have him basically take over the role that King had and be the multi-inning guy, I was very, very eerie on that. And then he did that, and he looked pretty good. He did get hit a little bit, I believe, on opening day. But Boone stuck with him, and he looked much better in the second inning. So I was shocked by that, because I remember I said in the chat, when Boone left him in, I was like, why is he leaving him in? And I think you were the one that was like, they have said this is what they wanted to do, so that's why they're doing it. But yeah, that was what really surprised me, because everyone else,
the ballsy move was not going to a lefty and leaving him in to face Alvarez and then Tucker.
That was what threw me off.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone else didn't really shock me as much as that did. I guess he could, no, I
see, for me, my answer is along the same lines of yours, of getting extra length and trusting reliever. But Ian Hamilton missed a second inning. I think it was Saturday night game. That was very unexpected. I'm glad they did. The fact that the Yankees have multiple weapons in that bullpen, Clayton Meter, I thought, would play that role. He pitched once and they sent him down immediately after a
three pitches
on opening day. But you have at least Loaiza and now apparently Ian Hamilton. Who else in that bullpen? Nick Birdie, maybe he'll be a lane. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the fact that they have multiple guys that can all go.
It's big.
To get out of one inning, right, and then be done, or go 2 full innings. That's a very, very. It's a unique asset that we haven't had in the past.
It lengthens the bullpen, because you look at 22. King was the guy. King was the multi-inning guy. But he would go 2 innings, 2 1/3, 2 2/3 in one game, and then they wouldn't pitch him for 3 games. And that would completely desecrate the bullpen for those 3 games, right? Because
you had him empty the tank, and
you had to have your starter pitch, give you length in those 3 games and put a lot of stress on the rotation. And
obviously we have to stay healthy too, because Loaiza is healthy right now through the first series. But the big thing is that when that happened, if he was in the bullpen in May of last year, right, that's a non-issue. You couldn't have King tonight. You got Loaiza got to go 3 or 4 or 5 outs or something like that. Now they have a lot of options this year, and knock on wood, they stay healthy. But even guys like Caleb Ferguson, Victor Gonzalez, Nick Birdie, who I mentioned already, there's a lot of guys in that bullpen who can play any kind of role they get thrown into. They're no longer matchup based guys. Remember, they turned Adam Ottavino into a Rugi, which was the craziest thing, because they got him to be the setup man. All of a sudden, by the end of the year, he was only facing right-handed power hitters. They don't have guys who are falling into that box anymore.
Their bullpen is so much more versatile now.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a Joe Girardi nightmare because he wouldn't know what to do.
He overwhelmed. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah. You can put 5 or 6 different guys into any inning and be somewhat confident that they're going to succeed. Like, obviously Holmes is the closer and he has not looked great. He hasn't broken yet, but he's looked much more hittable than he has in the past.
He's probably the most hittable pitcher in our bullpen, which is crazy to say.
Which is wild to say.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But so far through one series, he's been the most fragile looking. Like, he's given up a bunch of hits. He got bailed out by Soto's arm on opening day. Almost had a blown save on Sunday. I almost did the first thing.
Verdugo
made the save, diving down the line to stop. I think it was that Altuve who hit it?
They
had no chance of doubling up. He stopped arguably the game when he doubled down the line. Clay hasn't looked great, and he's very quickly becoming like the Miguel Castro experience part two.
Yeah. Or the Aroldis Chapman experience.
When he's on, he's untouchable.
Yeah. But like, if you have him as your worst reliever for the opening series, and you look at his numbers and like, he didn't give up a run. Like that's the bottom line. He didn't give up a run. He gave up, five hits. It's three saves. Three innings, 5 hits, 1 hit.
He has 3 saves?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. And so, you know, he hasn't looked great. He's a 1.667 whip this year because he's
not going to play.
he hit a guy and he's given up 5 hits in 3 innings. But if your defense is good, which the Yankees defense is going to be pretty solid, that changes everything. And that was another thing. Last year, their defense was not very good, especially the outfield defense. When Judge was not around, there was not many good options in the outfield because Bader was out for a lot of the year. Left field was a rotating, okay, who has working legs and can run a little bit? You're going in left field.
You could make an argument that Aaron Judge in center field, not Aaron Judge in right, but Aaron Judge in center field is the worst defensive outfielder on the team. Not that he's better, not that Soto's better than him straight up in right field, but Judge is playing out of position admittedly in center field. I know he can do it fine, but Soto.
I think in terms of pure outfield talent, Soto's definitely the worst outfielder on the team.
Oh, sure. Judge in right.
But he's just, Soto's just like slightly below average defensively, but obviously makes up for that. And Judge is like as average as you can get in terms of defensive metrics in center.
As a center fielder, yeah.
As a center fielder, yeah, in right field.
Right fielder is a gold incredible for caliber.
And Verdugo's above average in left field. So you're looking Verdugo's at now, you have everything combined together, you have an above average outfield. And then say a day that Soto's the DH, you have Verdugo in left, Grisham in center, and Judge in right. That is a incredibly above average.
That's the best defensive outfield they could put together.
Yeah, and that you could make an argument that that's one of the best defensive outfields in baseball. And even the infield right now, Waldo has held his own and at third. Birdie is, you know, good defensively pretty much at wherever he goes. Volpe's a gold glover. Glaber is a second baseman.
Waldo made the one error at third base.
He did make a throwing error.
Was it Saturday night's game?
Yes, it was.
But then he was fine at shortstop on Sunday.
But and again, Waldo is not a natural third baseman. He's
actually a natural second baseman, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But he can play anywhere.
Yeah.
And then Rizzo is solid defensively. So there's no real position where there's a glaring hole now, as opposed
to
last year.
Which is such a great feeling, right? The Yankees don't have to be off the charts exceptional in multiple areas, but they don't have any glaring weaknesses either. Yeah. You would say that the biggest weakness is the back end of the rotation, right? And then the risk that's comes with the guys like Rodon and Stroman. Like Stroman could
great. I genuinely think the risk is the biggest like weakness of this team because there's three guys in the rotation right now that you don't know what you're gonna get. Nestor, you have no idea what you're getting. Rodon, no clue. And Luis Gil. Like, is he going to go out there and you know, prove that he belongs in the rotation? Or is he going to be overwhelmed by basically being told, all right, you pitch well, you're in the rotation for however long you need to be. But if you don't.
Well, so look, that's the perfect segue. The first pitch of tonight's game, obviously it'll be over by the time this episode comes out, but first pitch is in about 20 minutes. Gil gets his first start of the season, the first start for him in like 18 months, I think, maybe a little longer. Whenever was he blew out his elbow, I think in Chicago in 2022, maybe. Was that the game where Donaldson hit the grand slam?
I think so.
Maybe that's when he made his first start. But he blew out his elbow in 2022, hasn't made a major league start since. So what do you expect to see from him tonight?
I don't think he's going to go long. I think he's probably going to go four innings. I think probably 70 to 80 pitches. And
facing the NL champions,
the Diamondbacks, who have a better lineup than the one that made the World Series. I don't want to say that I don't have faith in him, but I don't know if it's going to be easy for him. I don't think he's going to have a Johnny Brito against the Twins 9 runs in the first inning start.
God, no.
Of last year. But I think it's going to be a battle for him. And I think what's going to pretty much tell the story of whether or not he stays in the rotation long term is how he handles it. If, you know, say the Diamondbacks go out there and to start the game, they get back-to-back runners on. If he can get out of that, you know, less than 30 pitches and give up, you know, one run, I think that's a win. If he can, you know, go out and if he has a bad inning, he goes out and has a 15 pitch inning after that, that's a win. It's like the little things.
Well, so we saw with Cortez, gave up 4 runs in the first 2 innings and then retired, I think, 12 of the last 13 hitters he faced the rest of the way.
Yeah.
I don't expect that from Luis Gil per se, but. Like there are ways where you can take a bad start and make it a manageable outing. If you go 4 innings, 4 runs, and all 4 of the runs were early, but you shut the door there and you allow the team 8-9 innings to come back after that, then like that's not the worst thing in the world. Obviously, you'd rather he doesn't give up 4 runs, but
yeah. And you know, again, the Diamondbacks are a good team. They're one of the I'd say best top. They're top 5 in the NL now. So they're not going to be easy to face, and how he handles this is going to be a pretty big test because, like you said, he has 33 innings pitched in MLB. He threw 29 innings in 21 and 9 or 4 in 22, which was that one start in Chicago. So this is going to be a lot for him. But hopefully he kind of, you know, doesn't get overwhelmed and is able to at least put up some type of good start.
Yeah. So look, if you expect the Yankees to come home from the first road trip of the season 7-0, I probably got some news for you. That's not going to happen, but like they've already started off the season on the right foot. Way better than any of us could have expected, winning all 4 games in Houston. You just got to be representative, take care of business in Arizona, take at least one of those 3 games, ideally 2, but you'd be happy with 1.
Right. You got to ride the momentum. You got to ride the momentum from beating Houston and act like you're and understand that you're facing a team in Houston. Because as of right now, I would say the Diamondbacks are better than Houston.
Yeah.
That's fair. The same attitude.
Yeah, it's weird too at this time of the season because every game matters, and the Yankees made a point of saying that they need to play with more urgency, which you saw right away that they were down in every game but one in Houston. They came back and won all of them. They have to play with some more urgency, and they have to not have punt games and games in the middle of April and May and be like, oh, well, who cares? Well, it's not against the Red Sox. It's not against the Dodgers. So who cares? Like, 'cause every win and loss matters, right? If you miss the game, if you miss the playoffs, let's say by one game, it doesn't matter which one game you lost that matters. Yeah. You could have lost it to the worst team in the league. You could have lost it to the Dodgers. The point is you lost it by one game. And if you had taken that one night seriously, maybe you're in the playoffs, right? Yeah. So obviously the results still matter on just the fifth game of the year, but you also want to see a little more progression over these next three games too. So like, I'd like to see Judge pop a home run or maybe put a couple balls in the gap. I'd like to see Verdugo, heat up offensively. Gleyber Torres, we need to see a little more from, Juan Soto's not going to hit 600 in this series again. And if he does, he's Superman, but, you just like every series, every week really across a 162 game marathon is going to be different, but at this point in the year, you're happy with wins and losses, but you want to see the team develop to what they're going to be later in the year.
You want to see the guys that didn't get off to good starts in Houston kind of at least look like they know what they're doing. And you want to see the guys that did get off to good starts, the Sotos, the Waldos, the Volpes, you want to see them. Yeah. You want to see them still eat. Obviously, they're not going to keep up what they were doing, but you want to see them still have that same mentality going up to the plate or on the mound or something like that. You don't want to see them.
And adversity is going
to
happen, right? Like at some point, the Yankees are going to have the lead or the game's going to be tied and a reliever is going to give up a run and late.
There's going to be a back-breaking blown save at some point, or there's going to be a strikeout with the bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth inning. How they brush that off and come back from that and, you know, leave that in the past is going to define how well they do this season. Because last year, it's not that that didn't define how the season went. They didn't get the chance to do that because they were never really in those situations.
Right.
But yeah, I think I'm looking forward to the Arizona series. I think it's going to be really telling. I think if you saw the schedule after the Rangers won the World Series last year and you went, oh God, they're starting in Houston and in Arizona. It's a nightmare start, but the fact that they already of these seven games, the fact that they already guaranteed themselves a 500 record is huge.
Yeah.
They could get swept by the Diamondbacks and still be 4-3 and still have something to look back on from this span of games and be like, you know what? These are the things that we did well. It's not like, I think it's the White Sox, the Mets, and the Marlins who all got swept in their first series, who have to look back on their first series and just be like, okay, so this is what needs to change. The Yankees don't need to make changes right now. They need to just keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah. And that's why I said, if you take even one of those three games and you come home 5-2 for your home opener on Friday, you're feeling good about things.
Yeah.
It's a good start to the season. You know where you stand, your own internal barometer of the kind of team you are. And the only thing that you really need to avoid is any injuries. And that's always a risk, but like, that's the one thing that can't happen. Especially I think they have that field turf right in Arizona. So that's potential risk for increased injuries. So, knock on wood, we're not having conversations about this player getting hurt before the home opener, before our next podcast. But look, let's just go out and keep the good times rolling.
Yeah, exactly. But hopefully we'll be back. We'll be back probably either after the Arizona series or after the home opener series. I am completely blanking on who they're playing this weekend.
Yeah, is it bad that I don't know off the top of my head either?
It's not great for either of us, so bear with us as we look this up right now.
I was just looking at the schedule the other day, and I knew it, and now it's escaping me.
It is the Jays.
I knew it was a division rival, but I didn't want to say Tampa.
Yeah, you know, either after the D-back series or after the Jays series on Sunday, so hopefully we will look back on the past, week and be like, huh, our pod on Monday aged well and not be like, huh, the Yankees just lost 6 in a row. They're 4-6. Oh, crap.
All the optimism is for nothing.
All the optimism's gone. But, yeah, right now we're optimistic. We're having fun. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
So for Alex, for Andrew, this has been the Bronx Bomber Babble Podcast, brought to you by Six Pack Coverage. And we are cautiously optimistic.